Okay, we're up to Perek Lamed, Pasek Lamed. Lamed Lamed. Two Lameds. The Yishmiya Hashem es Hoyd Koiloi. We're continuing the description of what's going to happen at the time when the Malach kills all of the 185,000 soldiers of Sancheriv. The Yishmiya Hashem will make it heard. Es Hoyd Koilo. The splendor of his voice. According to the Medrash, this means that the Hashem opened up the ears of these soldiers to hear the Shira of the Malachim. When the Malachim would say Kadosh, 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 when they heard these words of praise, Hashem Tzivakos, their neshamos departed, left their bodies. So that's what it means. V'yishmi Hashem, Hashem will make it heard. Es hoyd kolo, the splendor of his voice. V'nacha zero'o yareh. He will cause it to be seen, the resting of his arm. The Zeroya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always used in reference to power, to might. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it known, he will make known his power and might by letting his hand down upon the enemy to conquer and destroy them. The Nachas Zero, the resting of his arm, Yareh, he will cause it to be seen. And here we have a few expressions, powerful expressions. Bizaaf af, with a fury of anger. The Lahav Eishlav means a flame of fire, Eichelo, that is all consuming. Nefetz means to shatter, to take an object and to break into teeny little pieces. Vozerem is a torrent, usually used in reference to a torrent of water, but it can be used as a torrent of other things as well, of ice and of fire, and it's used in different ways, but here, whatever. Vozerem, a torrent of destruction. The Even Barod, and stones of hail. So we have here a whole collection of different expressions describing Kodesh Baruch Hu's power that he will bring out at this point in time when he destroys the enemy. I just want to mention, we mentioned last week, here we have this unusual expression, the Hod Kolo. So I want to suggest that this is Mida Keneged Mida, Keneged, where the Jewish people, they will do tshuva, and they will view the Avodah Zarah as Dava, as a Nida. If you just go back a few psukim, if you see if I could find the pasuk, they'll say to the Avodah Zarah, "You are Tsei Taimala, pasuk Chavais, Viti Meisem et Sipui Pesilei Kaspecha, Vesafudas Masecha Zehovecha, Tizraim, you will disperse them, you will disperse the idols, Kimo Dava, like a woman who is a Nida." It was mentioned in ancient times, women who were Nidos were not allowed to live in the same home with the husband, because in those days, everything, Chulin was treated with Kedusha. Tahara Sakodesh, in order to practice, in order to become accustomed to Tahara, so that when one goes to the Beis HaMikdash, person should be accustomed to the laws of tahara, and even besides that, just in general, it's good to live in a lifestyle of tahara. A woman who was a nida would live during those days in a separate apartment, a separate house, in order not to contaminate the utensils, the food and clothing, and so on and so forth. Dava, we mentioned the letters dava, dalav, vav, hey, are the opposite order of hod. It's coming Lag BaOmer, and this is one of the themes of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is in the counting of the Sfira. If you say those Yiratzons at the end of the Sfira and look at the charts, we all know there are different midos of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and one of them is Hod, and Lag BaOmer is Hod Shebehod. I really have no idea what that means. We mentioned a little bit on Friday that Hod is the Midah where a person descends to a level where one to the level of Tumah, to levels where one would not expect to find Kedusha, and there he succeeds in extracting sparks of holiness. And this was the Midah of Rashbi, of Shimar Yochai, after he came out of the cave, after the second time, he was able to see the good, the sparks of holiness, even in the simplest, most mundane activities people conduct themselves in their daily lives, to extract those sparks of Kedusha. Lag BaOmer is Hod Shebehod, it's an intensification of Hod. A dova, a woman who is a nida, is the opposite of chol. It represents pure contamination. A woman in that state, she's contaminated. So here, we have here this woman who is a nida, and we have here Avodah Zarah, and Yeshaya says, the Jewish people will recognize the emptiness of Avodah Zarah, and they will disperse it, they will scatter it, they will throw it out of their homes like a dova, and they will declare, as they throw away the idols, say, leave. Mida keneged mida. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards the Jewish people for removing Avodah Zarah from the midst. Hashem says, you will hear my voice, come to me with the expression of hod kolo, the splendor of his voice. The hod kolo corresponds to say, leave, that the Jewish people said to the Avodah Zarah that they treated with the status of a dova. The same word, the same letters, in the opposite form, one being used as our expression of recognition that it's nonsense. The Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards us with the hod kolo. Okay, pasuk lamed aleph, ki mikol Hashem, due to the voice, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sound of Hashem, as we mentioned before, they heard the malachim sing shira, yechas, ashur yechas, we have many times, will be broken, they will be destroyed, ashur will be destroyed, bashevet yakeh, Hashem will hit them with the rod. Some type of metaphor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shevet will come down upon them. This also parallels the expression we have many times that Asher was a shevet. Asher conquered the world. And the way the Pesukim describe his conquest was as if he went from country to country with his own shevet, his own rod, and would smite the nations and bring them under his control. Pasuk Lamedes, V'hoya kol ma'avar mate musodo. Now this is a very difficult pasuk. It's hard to translate. There are many different translations. We'll try to do the best that we can. V'hoya it will be kol ma'avar mate musodo. Now this can either refer to Hashem or could refer to Ashur. Let's take it first, Ashur. It will be kol every place that in the past, where ma'avar means to pass through, mate musada, mate means the rod, similar to the word in the previous pasuk of shevet, musada, that has been established. And in this context, taking the words together, it means that all of the places in which Asher has conquered in the past, Asher is a mate, that is musada, that has been firmly established, and is powerful and mighty, and has established himself, his malchus, throughout the world. But now, all of that has come to an end. Now he has been destroyed, he has been obliterated. There's no longer an Ashur. Asher yoniach Hashem olav, which now HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring, will rest his, we have to add a few words into the pasuk. Yoniach means to rest his might. As we said in the previous pasuk, Hashem will rest his arm of power upon this malchus of Ashur to destroy them. When this occurs, it's going to be with great joy. In other words, all of the victims, all of the nations that have been conquered, will celebrate with incredible simcha, because now that they have relief that this enemy, this nation of Ashur, who in the past passed through their lands and set down his mate, that was Musada, is no longer here. He's gone. We're free. Freedom has come. It will be Asher Yaniach Hashem, when Hashem will put down and rest his might upon this nation, it will be Bisufim Uvichinoros. Sufim are drums. Kinoros are harps. It will be a great time of joy. Uvimilchamos, this expression is different. What does this mean here, this last part of the word pasuk? Uvimilchamos tinufa milcham ba, or bam. Ba and bam refers to the malchus. The malchus in the singular ba is the nation, but bam refers to the people, the multitudes, his army, the people of his nation. It means the same thing when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight against this nation. And what does it mean, tenufa? So either it means Hashem will wave his hand, Hashem will wipe him out. The waving is the waving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. It is attached to the expression before Yoniach Hashem. Hashem will rest his might. But before he will rest his might, he will wave back and forth to destroy the nation. Others learn that Tnufah refers back to the Sufim uvilchinaros, meaning that there is Hashem is the conductor. There's a conductor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wave his hand in order to bring out Simcha. The victims, the people who have been conquered, will rejoice. And it will be Kikil Kaviyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the conductor, and this instrument should play, and that instrument should play. You should play together. This one should go high, this one should go low, in order to rejoice in the removal, the Ibud Rishahim Rina. When the wicked are destroyed, there is great joy. The conductor. Who is the conductor in this case? Hashem is the conductor in this case. A third interpretation, we take the word tenufa, we are referring back to what we've learned a few psukim before, the tenufas shof, the sieve of vanity. And we explained there, if you go back to pasuk chof ches, it says, V'ruchho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirit, his anger, will be kanachal sheteif, will be like a stream that floods, atzavor yechetze, the victim will find himself in a state of danger, it will come to his neck. When a person walks through the river, when the water comes to the person's neck, if it goes any higher, he realizes that he is in a state of sakana because he will drown. It will come right up to their neck. La hanafo goyim, Hashem will wave the nations binofas shof. So we explain this expression to mean that there's a sieve, and the sieve has holes, and generally we put the grain or whatever trying to sift in the sieve, and the particles of psoilas, waste, fall through the holes, and the good particles, the ochel, remains in the sieve on top. But that's only where the size of the hole is just right. It's not too small, not too big. If it's too large, then not only does the psoilas fall out, the waste fall out, the food also falls through the holes. If the holes are too small, then you accomplish nothing. Then the psoilas remains in the sieve. That if we would put ourselves, make believe that we were the grain that was being taken up in this sieve, it's a frightening experience. It's a horror to be shaken up and down, back and forth. So is it really worth it to go through this horror of being shaken up in all different directions? So the answer is, well, if the result is that we remove the psoilas and we're left with the ochal, it was worth it. It was worth the experience because we have at the end the product that is pure. But if the holes are too large or too small, then we've gone through a horrifying experience, being shaken all different directions, and come away with absolutely nothing. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is telling Asher, I'm going to shake you up. I'm going to shake you up and down, back and forth. You're going to be terrified. You'll think at least, okay, we'll suffer. We're at war. War, there are casualties. It's painful. But the result is we win, we conquer, we succeed, and then we can go forward. We have a new, we have expanded our nation. We have a new nation that will give us tribute. No, it will be a tenufa shof, a waving of vanity. You'll be shaken back and forth, up and down, and be terrorized and go through horror, and you'll come away with nothing. The holes will be so large, you'll also fall, you'll go down with the psoilas into the ground. So that's what this pasuk here refers to as well. It's a new statement. The statement of uvil uvim milchamos tenufa milchambo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the war that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wage against the malchus of Asher? It will be a war of waving. What waving? Refer back to pasuk of Ches, a few psukim before. The waving of a sieve that is shof. Now there's a fourth pshat. The fourth pshat, now that's is really the medrash, is that tenufa refers to the omer. We have to remember that this event, the miracle of Sancheriv, occurred on the night of Pesach, the first day of Pesach. What do we do on the first day of Pesach? We bring the minchas omer. The minchas omer is called the mincha that is waved. We wave the omer in all four directions with the sheep, the kifs, with the carbon. The omer is waved, and that's what the pasuk refers to. Hashem saying that in the merit, in the zechus of the Omer that is offered on the first day of Pesach, I will save the Jewish people. What's the significance? Why is the Omer a schus? I'm not exactly sure. But the Omer is what the Pasuk is telling them. They already began to prepare the Omer on the night of the first night of Pesach, because it was offered the first thing in the morning, the first morning of Pesach, and this whole old Mishnais describing exactly how the preparations that were done the night of Pesach to prepare for the Omer. So I've given you a total of four interpretations for these few words of Milchamos, Tulifa, Nilcham Ba. Either it means, one more time, either it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he does war, he's going to wave his hand, to wave his hand to destroy them, and it really picks up on the word, the words in the pasuk before, Yoniach Hashem Olav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rest his hand upon them. In the process of resting his hand, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shake them up. Second interpretation, Muhammad Sufa refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause great simcha. He's going to act as the conductor and to tell the nations that have been conquered, rejoice. I have removed the tyrant. He no longer is here. Rejoice, Hashem be the conductor, and cause people to sing. Third interpretation, Tanufa refers to the sieve that is shav. The holes are too large. The enemy will fall through the holes as well. They will accomplish nothing through this experience. And number four, it's in the zechus of the omen. And to review the beginning of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says, "Vaykol mavar matei musada." So I told you that matei musada refers to the Sancheirif. That's where Sancheirif in the past passed through the lands that he conquered, where he, the Melech of Ashur, was a mate, was a staff that was established on this earth. No more. Now he will be gone. Asher Yoniach Hashem Olav. Hashem will put down his hand upon him, and Hashem will cause the nations to rejoice with Bisufim uvichinaros. Other Mefarshim learn, Kol Mavar Matei Musada does not refer to Ashur, but refers to Hashem. That Hashem now will pass upon the Malchus of Ashur his Mate, his staff, which is Musada, which has been established to punish the wicked, to remove evil from this world. So again, either this expression, Matei Musada, is a reference to the Malchus of Ashur in the past, or refers to Hashem, Hashem that is now coming to destroy the nation. Hashem is the Matei Musada, and Hashem is going to rest his hand upon them and bring out in this world Simcha with musical instruments, as we said, with the Ibud Rishaim Rina, when the wicked are destroyed, there is an outpouring of joy and Simcha in this world. Now we go to Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Ki aruch me es mul tofteh. It is, you have yours a smul or a small? What do you have in yours?
A small.
With a shurach, right?
A small.
Yeah, okay. A small. Ki aruch me es mul tofteh. There's been arranged from yesterday the tofteh. What is tofteh? So we'll see in a few moments. So a word for that refers to Gehenim. Gehenim is where these, it's very unusual for Psukim to refer to mystical things, spiritual things, but that's how the Pashtunim learn here. Very rare to find everybody. It has been arranged for the wicked people, referring to Sancheirif and his army of 185,000 soldiers. Gehenim, that's where they're going to go after they die. Their lives will be snuffed out through the Malach by hearing the Shira of the Malachim. Their souls will then descend to Gehenim. And this place where they are going has been already, it's waiting for them from time immemorial. It's been arranged, may esmul. Esmul means from yesterday, from the day before. But in this context, it means from long, long ago, from the beginning of my Sibarashis, Gehenim already has been arranged. It's aruch. It's not just the place of chaos. Fascinating expression. Aruch is a word which has a connotation that there's a seder, that there's an order. Everything, there are compartments. It's a very complex place. It's not just a pit and everyone falls there. There are compartments, there are chambers. Everyone gets exactly what they deserve in this mokam. A shulchan aruch, a table that is arranged. Table, everything is on its place. fork and a knife. You have to know exactly how to put the utensils in the right place, left and right, so on and so forth, and with the small plate upon the large, and so on and so forth. So exactly, the Gehenna is a place that is aruch. It's very detailed. There's much detail. There's a lot of architecture, and there are many compartments, and everyone has a special makom there. Ki aruch be'as small tofteh. Tofteh is Gehenna. We'll see in a few moments why. Tofteh is called Gehenna. Gam hi, it, also it, Gehenna, la melech chuchan. It's even prepared for the king. The king, Sancheirav, is no different. Even though in this world there's no one as powerful as again, he was the king of the world, Kemat Sancheirav. He conquered the world. His Malchus Asher, they were the world power. He was the leader of, I wouldn't say the free world, he was the leader of the conquered world, Sancheirav. So there's nothing that he cannot do. Maybe in this world you're free, but not in the next world. The next world, there are no one has special treatment. It's prepared for him as well. Hemik, it is deep. Hirchiv, it has been widened. Midurasa, it's pyre. The fire is very wide. It's very deep. Eish, there's fire. The Eitzim Harbe, there's no deficiency of fuel. There's no shortage of fuel there. There's plenty of fire. Eitzim Harbe, Nishmas Hashem, Kenachal Gafris, the Nishmas, the breath. The breath of Hashem is Kenachal Gafris, is a river of sulfur. Bo'ara Ba, that is burning Ba in Gehenim, and that's where the Risharim will descend. And why is Gehenim called Tofteh? So the truth is, this is not even one of the names of Gehenim. The Gemara says that Gehenim has seven names. Some of the names of Gehenim are Sheol, Ve'avdon, Be'er Shachas, Tit Hayovein, Tzalmoves, Eretz HaTachtis. The Gemara gives a collection of names for Gehenim. The Gemara asks, but this is not one of the names. Tofteh is not a name. But you're right, it's not a name, it's a description. Why? Tofteh comes pitui, to be enticed. But who ends up in Gehenim? A person that is enticed by his Yetzahara. The Yetzahara, the person is overcome by the Yetzahara. That's when the person ends up in Gehenim. He is Al Shem Shekol HaMispateh BiYitzro. Anyone that is overcome, that is influenced by the Yetzahara, falls, succumbs to the Yetzahara, ends up in Gehenim. So it's a descriptive name for Gehenim. Okay. Now also it says here that it is also reserved La Melech. The Gemara says, who's the Melech? Besides the Pshut Shalmikah that we are referring to, Sancheirav, it also refers to Talmidei Chachamim. A Talmud Chacham should not think that he's special. He learns, he davens, he does mitzvahs. So in my spare time, I can do a few averos. I'll do a few averos when no one is watching. I'll get away with it. My Torah will be naked, will protect me. No such thing. Man Malkei Rabbanan. Who are the kings? The Rabbanan, the Gemara says. There's no exceptions. Gam Hilam Melech Chuchan, even Talmidei Chachamim will find themselves in Gehenim if they lack perfection. Another idea, Gam Hilam Melech Chuchan refers to the Yetzahara. This refers to a pasuk in Koheles. In Koheles, we describe the story of the Melech Zokein V'Chosil, the king that is old and foolish. Let me see if I could find it here quickly. Here it is. It says here, To pasuk in Koheles, perek dal pasuk gimel, toiv yeled miskein v'chacham. It's better to be a young man that's wise than mimelech zakein uchasil, than to be a king, to be an ordinary citizen who's young but is wise, than to be the king, a foolish king. What does this refer to? So the Gemara says the yeled miskein v'chacham. Take care. Have a good day. Have a nice day. The yeled katan is a reference to the yetzer toif. The melech zokein v'chasil is a reference to the yetzer hara. So we take that pasuk in Koheles and we apply it here. And when the pasuk says that Dam la melech uchan Gehenim is prepared for the melech, we're referring to the Yetzer Hara, ultimately, at the end of days, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will slaughter the Yetzirah, the Yetzirah will be given its share in Gehenim for the harm it has brought upon this world. Oh, but you'll say, the Yetzirah will say, but I didn't do anything wrong. This was my job. So it's the same thing you can say about the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians. They'll say, what did we do wrong? It says that it's supposed to subjugate the Jewish people for 400 years. So we did what we were supposed to. This was our mission in life. The answer is, he did it with a lishma. It's true. It was your job to subjugate. But why did you enjoy it so much? The pleasure you had goes to show that you did not do l'shem shemaim, you did it for your own benefit, and therefore that's why you say in davening v'zeidim tibata. Why are the Egyptians called zeidim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu drowned the Egyptians in the Yam Suf. Zeidim tibata. Zeidim is a powerful term. It means mezidim, people who the malicious people, vicious people. What's zeidim? The answer is, listen, Hashem said, so good. So now it's time to leave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to redeem his people. Hashem took them out. What are you chasing after them? What's this all about? You did your job. They served you. They were slaves. You got out of them the pyramids and all the wealth of Egypt came from the Jewish people. So very good. It's time for them to go. What are you chasing then? What are you running after then? It goes to show the reason why you subjugated them was not because you wanted to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. The reason why you torched them was because of your own pleasure. Therefore, that's why you're Zaydim, and that's why you're deserving to be destroyed. The same thing, the Yetzirah, it's true, L'shem Shemaim, the tiniest L'shem Shemaim, but yet the Yetzirah is going to Gehenna. Why is it going to Gehenna? Obviously, the Yetzirah has some satisfaction in his conduct and what he has brought up upon this world. Another few ideas about Gehenna. Gehenna's fascinating concept, Gehenna. And by the way, Gehenna really comes from Gehinom. It's the valley of Hinnom. It's found very frequently in Sefer Melachim. It refers very specifically to Molech. Molech, had in the last week's parasha, where in ancient times there was this absurd avodah zarah, it's hard for us to relate to, where parents would offer their children to the gods. They would burn their children alive, different forms of burning their children. And there was a valley called Gehinom. And that is where the ceremony would take place. The parents would bring their child, firstborn, or they would bring all their children, and they were different midrash, different Maamar Chazal. According to one Maamar Chazal, there was a massive statue made out of metal, some type of whether it was gold, silver, bronze, whatever it was, and the statue had hands, and they would heat up the hands until they were red hot, and then the priest of this Moloch would take the child and put the child on the hands of this statue, and the child would instantly die. It was a painful death. And that's the way they would offer, they would serve this god by sacrificing, putting children on the burning hands of the Moloch. When the children would be put on these burning hands, they would obviously scream incredible agony and pain. And if the parents, the mother and the father, would hear the cry of their child burning, it's painful. And the parents would begin to question, maybe it's not the best thing that we should be doing this and giving our children over to be burnt. So to drown out the sounds of the crying children, they would play instruments. They would bang very loud drums in order to create a diversion, sounds the parents should not hear their children screaming and crying as they die. So this is called Gehinom. It was the valley of Hinnom, and that's what they would sacrifice. This sin was so great, Chazal, they use this as a mushal for the spiritual fires that a neshama will be applied against the neshama to purify the neshama after the neshama leaves this world, with the term of Gehinom, which we say, in our vernacular, we say Gehenna. but it comes from a place, it's a real place, which was used specifically to offer children to the idol, to Molech, called Gei Hinnom. So here, this place of Tofteh, which we call Gehenim, has been prepared for me Esmul. And what does that mean, me Esmul? Esmul means the day before, which teaches us that Gehenim was created on Yom Sheni, on the second day of creation. Because the second day of creation had an Esmul. Esmul literally means yesterday, but it doesn't have 2 days ago. It doesn't have a Shulshan. Monday, when you're standing on Monday, you can say today, yesterday, Sunday. But you can't say 2 days ago, 3 days ago, today, the day before Shulshan, because it didn't exist. The world didn't exist at that point in time.
The first day that had it yesterday.
The first day that had it yesterday. That's how from here we learned that Gehenim was created on Yom Sheni. The Gemara asks a question, but we have another Maamar Chazal that tells us that Gehenim was created Bein Hashmashos, was created on Friday. Friday, Bein Hashmashos, even before the world was created. Now let's talk about Bein Hashmashos, was created on Friday, after Shabbos, in between Friday and Shabbos. So we have a contradiction. On the one, we have the pasuk that says that it was created, that it was Huchan, that the Gehenim was prepared on, it was prepared, it was Oruch, May Esmul, it was prepared, which we use this word to indicate, on Monday. But yeah, we have a Maamar Chazal that was created on Friday. The Gemara says, not a kasha. The chamber was created on Monday, but the fire, it was ignited, it was lit up on Friday, Bein Hashmashos. So there are two parts together. The actual chamber and the fire that burns, that was created on Friday. Himek Hirchev Buduras, Chazal tell us that it's, unfortunately, so many people, so many neshamas have to enter Gehenim, it's not large enough. It was... They had to expand. They had to do a... You didn't get in the mail those promotions to donate the money for the expansion. The building can. You don't get every day in the mail the letters, and now they send the automatic messages on the telephone asking for money for the building campaign to expand Gehenim. So that's what it says. Sfir Hashem says, don't worry, built into Gehenim, it automatically expands. It'll automatically deepen and widen and expand. Hemek Hirchev Midurasa, there's plenty of, I'll tell you a joke. Someone told me, talking about Lakewood. The Talmud Chacham, he was talking, he says, oh yeah, he was talking, oh, you have a son who learns in Lakewood. Then my son-in-law, he bought a house in Lakewood, and he moved to Lakewood. And this one, he works in New Jersey, so he bought on the outskirts of Lakewood, he bought a house. And the other person says, yeah, I know, this one is in Lakewood. Oh, you wouldn't believe, there was a guy in my shul, you would never believe in a million years he would end up in Lakewood, but he has a son, and now he goes to visit, so he also born apart in Lakewood. You know, Lakewood is like Gehenim. Everyone finds their way there sooner or later. That's what he said. Okay, made an impression on me. I remember it. I can tell it over to you today. Okay, so this concludes. Any other thing I remember about Gehenim?
Gehenim. So even but before Adam and Chava ate from Eitz Hadas,
it was ready. It was there.
It was there already.
That's what it seems. It's hard to understand. What does that mean?
They got
occupied. Yeah,
that going in with like a negative attitude.
On the second day,
yeah,
is that. Machlokas,
division,
created, so
separation, right?
So now you already have.
You have to have.
Have
it's built into creation. It's a very deep, deep idea. That's right. It's a very deep idea. Okay, so this concludes Perek Lamed. The truth is, Lamed Aleph is a continuation, and many Rav Schwab Rav Schwab very often in his sefer he says that the Perekim were broken up. I mean, the Chumash also, you know, were broken up not by Jewish sources, and by it doesn't seem there should be any. There's any reason why the Perek should end here, because the Pesukim continue to discuss the same theme. But at least in the way we break it up, the Perek ends over here, and we'll stop with that here.